Can I sing the song I just wrote for the dog?
Definitely.
Okay. Goes, I know what dogs like. I know what Beef wants. Beef wants. Beef wants. Beef wants treats.
I like it.
What do you think?
She's tight.
Should I send it to, is it Debbie Harry who wrote that song? I know what boys like. I don't know.
They like to beef around.
Guys, if you haven't done it yet and you're in the Pasadena area, or, you know, if you're in California, come see us November 22nd live at the Ice House. We're doing the podcast live there November 22nd. Also, really exciting, we just signed up with Laughster. That's LAFFSTER.com. And you can watch a live streaming of that show anywhere in the world. Are you in Latvia right now? Are you in Scotland? Are you in Momstralia, Canada, and you don't think you can make it to a live event? Guess what? You can stream it. Go to Laughster.com and sign up now. Get your little account set up before the day of. And yeah, do it. What are you going to say, Jeans?
Oh, no. I was going to say that in addition to the ability to watch the streaming version, we also are going to have the option for people to bid on special prizes.
Right.
And we're going to take any and all of the money that comes from the bid and donate it.
Yes.
To the Wounded Warriors.
Yes.
Charity. So that's a great cause. And basically what it is that you can bid on, like, we're going to have a special top prize that if you win the first place bid, you get to be on the show on a phone call. We talk about whatever you want to talk about.
Yeah, we do a segment with you.
Yeah, so there's a whole slew of prizes, but it's kind of a fun way to make it interactive, and then all the money from that will go to a good cause.
Wounded Warriors, which Tommy and I very much love. Being as Top Dog is a Vietnam vet, we thought, what an appropriate charity to give to.
Yeah, it'll be good. So sign up, at least for an account right now, Laughster.com, LAFFSTER. And that's your chance to see the podcast live streaming on November 22nd. It should be a fun time.
Yeah.
Where else? Where else are you going
to
be?
So before that, guys, I go to Hartford. I'm at the Hartford Funny Bone November 14th through 17th. And then November 23rd, the Aliante Casino in Las Vegas, Nevada. And then December 5th, with my Jeans, we go to San Diego to do the podcast live at the American Comedy Company in San Diego. And December 19th through 22nd, I'm going to Atlanta at the Punchline. And then New Year's Eve, you're not doing something and you're in the D.C. area, come see Tommy and me co-headline the D.C. Improv December 27th through 31st. It should be really fun.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, follow us on Twitter at Christina P, at Tom Segura.
Yeah, right now, if you're listening to this, as you should be the moment it's available to you, I am in Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada.
Which club are you at?
Rumors.
I heard you were funny.
That's right. Tonight, tomorrow, Friday and Saturday, I'm in Rumors. Come see me. It's a great club. Great people. I love doing this club. And let's see. After that, I'm with her. We do some show. We do the live podcast. December 6th, tickets are now on sale for the Calusa Casino.
Oh.
It's in Northern California. And I'm doing it with the one and only Joey Coco Diaz, a.k.a.
Dog.
Mad Flavor. December 7th, he and I are in Eugene, Oregon, and I don't know where we're at. But if you're up there, I'll get that date, that link to you soon.
You cocksuckers.
All you cocksuckers can get those tickets. TomSegura.com, ChristinaComedy.com, YourMom'sHousePodcast.com. Sound good?
Yeah, it was a lot.
Yeah, all right.
So much information.
So much information. Look, this episode of Your Mom's House is brought to you by Stamps.com. We're constantly hearing how important it is to save money, especially if you're running a small business. What about saving time? It's just as valuable. Mm-hmm. That's why you need stamps.com. You don't want to waste time, right?
I got to tell you, and the older I get, the less time I have to waste, mm-hmm. especially standing in line at the post office. There's no bigger bummer than the post office.
It is the biggest bummer. With stamps.com, you can avoid those time-consuming trips to the post office. You get official U.S. postage using your own computer and printer. And best of all, it's just really easy. Unlike the post office, stamps.com is open 24/7, 365. You can always access it. You can do your mailing and shipping when it's convenient for you. Access all the services of the U.S. Postal Service right from your desk, including priority mail, mm-hmm. first-class mail, international mail, mm-hmm. all this for just a fraction of the cost of one of those postage meters. So with stamps.com, you'll save both time and money. We use stamps.com. We love it. We couldn't be happier with the service they provide, the value they provide. Right now, you can use our special promo code. It is M-O-M. That's MOM, M-O-M. And here's a special offer. There's no risk involved. You just have to go on. You give it a shot. You get this $110 bonus offer. It includes our digital scale. I said our, but it's theirs. They sent it to everybody. You don't have to share the one that we have. You get your own. And you also get up to $55 in free postage. That's a pretty good deal to start off.
No risk trial, man. You can't lose.
Here's what you want to do. You don't want to wait. You want to go right now to stamps.com. Before you do anything else, you click on the microphone at the top of the homepage. And you type in M-O-M. That's stamps.com. Enter M-O-M.
Easy peasy.
That's how you do it, jeans. That's how we do it around here. Are you ready to fart the show?
So many farts are ready for you.
Excellent. That's what I like to hear.
What are those questions?
Do you smoke crack cocaine?
Exactly. Yes, I have smoked crack cocaine. Mm-hmm. Am I an addict? No.
When have you?
Have I tried it? Probably in one of my drunken stupors, probably approximately about a year ago. I answered your question. You asked the question properly, I'll answer it.
How many
yes,
times?
I've made mistakes. All I can do now is apologize and move on.
This shit is big time!
Who is Randy?
Don't bring anyone loving to this.
Your mom in the fucking stand!
Welcome. Welcome to your mom's house. With Tom Segura. And
Christina Pajitsin. Welcome
to your mom's house.
Smoking rocks.
That is the mayor of Toronto.
That's why Toronto is the coolest city on earth.
Rob Ford. He likes cheeseburgers. He likes poutine. He likes crack. And one of my drunken you realize we're not talking about like a city with like a population of like 100 or some shit.
Right. It's major.
This is one of the biggest cities in the world. Yeah. Active, huge economy. Just. This is the most international city.
Yeah,
I smoke crack sometimes.
He said he tried it once.
Yeah, he said probably.
In a drunken stupor.
I probably did that. Who the fuck? I mean, you could say whatever. I drink, you know.
You asked me a couple of questions, and what were those questions?
Do you smoke crack cocaine?
Exactly. Yes, I have smoked crack cocaine.
Exactly.
Do I? Am I an addict? No.
When have you?
Have I tried it? Probably in one of my drunken stupors.
Probably
approximately about a year ago. I answered your question. You asked the question properly. I'll answer it.
How many?
Yes, I've made mistakes. All I can do now is apologize and move on. I don't know what. Oh, guys! Whoa! Okay, can I just?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yes, please.
All I can say is I've made mistakes. And you guys kept referring to alcohol. There was a couple isolated incidents. There's been times when I've been in a drunken stupor. That's why I want to see the tape. I want everyone in the city to see this tape. I'd like to see this tape. I don't even recall there being a tape and a video, and I know that. So I want to see the state that I was in. But That's exactly it. I don't know what else I can say.
Are you worried about what's on the
He's referring to a video that is out there of him talking about trying smoking crack, in which he's so drunk that he talks about it, that he's like, I haven't seen it. I want to see it.
Right. Well, let me tell you something. Here's what you do in a drunken stupor.
Crack?
No. You're at a party. Someone's like, hey, you want to smoke this joint? And you're like, it's not really a good idea for me to be this hammered and high, but you do it anyways, and then you regret it. Now, to get your hands on crack cocaine, it's a harder thing to do.
It is.
It's not easy. If you're like a white, well-to-do folk, you know, you work in the office. Generally, it's not what's laying around at office parties or, you know.
Speak for yourself,
common
Christina.
Parties.
We're talking about the mayor.
Right. Have you smoked crack?
I mean, probably. I wouldn't go say, yeah, but I'm saying like, I've drank a lot before, so yeah. So have I? Maybe. Probably.
Maybe. I don't know. I was too loaded. You know, one time in college, my friends and I, we wanted to smoke crack and just to try it, you know?
Yeah.
It's surprisingly not that easy, even in San Francisco, to get your hands on. And it smells awful.
Mm-hmm.
It's not an ideal party drug, you know?
Yeah. I want to see the drunken video, though.
Me too. And how great is it that the mayor of a Canadian... Obviously, in Canada, there's not like a hysteria about drug use or being loaded. They're like, yeah, well, everyone gets fucking loaded.
Yeah,
it's
they're
Canada.
Like, you
we
can
drink.
Still be fucking mayor.
Of course.
Do you know what he looks like? Have you seen
him? No.
He is amazing. He looks like he is in a Todd Phillips movie. Like, he's a character. He doesn't look like a...
What does he look like?
I don't know. Like 295.
He's a great big fat person.
Yeah, I mean, he's...
He's a hefty load of a dude. No, he's 295?
He's huge.
I love it. I love that Canadians will tolerate, like, an overweight president, whereas our presidents have to all be super fit.
And he's like...
And young and cute and hip.
He looks like he's, you know...
Did I say he was president? I bet he's a mayor.
Yeah, he's a mayor.
Sorry. He looks Hungarian.
Yeah, and he's, like, always, like, flush. Like,
yeah.
You know, like,
hot.
Yeah.
Sweaty.
He's very red.
Dude, that guy looks like every Hungarian guy I grew up around. Those friends with my dad that had a pinky ring and smelled like too much cologne. Yeah, totally. There he is.
Yeah.
That guy parties.
Hardcore.
That guy's awesome.
Yeah, this guy throws down.
Yeah, he's fun to be around.
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
I wasn't lying. You didn't ask the correct questions. No, I'm not an addict. And no, I do not do drugs. I made mistakes in the past, and all I can do is apologize, but it is what it is, and I can't change the past, and I can apologize to my family, my friends, my colleagues, and the people of this great city. I can't change the past.
Why are you acknowledging this?
I told you, approximately. I'd probably say in and around about a year ago, but I don't know exactly. That's why I want to see. I don't even remember.
The way that this ends, the way he walks away is the best, okay? Mm-hmm. Just let it play for a second, because it's pretty awesome.
After some of the stuff that you guys see me, the state of it.
Kudos to Canadian journalists who asked this.
Then it's a problem. So I want to get.
Are you
I said
right
I get. Okay.
That's right. He's like, all right, guys.
He's like, I'm out of here.
Come on.
Well, that's pretty astounding, isn't it? So you see the super underneath. Man, Ron Ford admits to having smoked crack cocaine. He said, you asked me that question back in May. I said no. He said, I'm telling you, I did smoke crack cocaine.
That's awesome.
It is rad. And I think this guy needs to learn from our politicians, which is do everything you want and then deny, deny, deny.
Here's I have a equal, like just the counterbalance. This is a American politician in a similar circumstance.
Right.
Come on my mouth.
Fucking cut.
Fucking ear.
Fucking blast my fucking face.
You know what? That's the wrong clip.
Is that what crack does to you?
That's the wrong clip.
Oh.
Sorry about that.
No, that was neat. What was going on in that clip?
I can't tell. I can't tell for broadcasting purposes. I can't tell you. But it was a I think it's a good juxtaposition of how to handle tough questions.
Was that like a Sunday school class you attended as a child?
Mm-hmm. Blast in my fucking face, man.
Wow, that was intense, babe. That was really intense, that clip.
Yeah.
What's going on visually that I can...
Actually, I don't have the visual on that.
It's too bad.
I know.
It sounded to me, correct me if I'm wrong.
Go ahead.
That there were two ladies, one gentleman, and one of the ladies was like, I want your semen in my mouth, in my, please. And then she gargled his semen. Is that right?
That sounds...
His ejaculate.
Yeah. I got some more audio in that vein. Do you want to hear it? That was sent to us.
Hold on. Let me take another sip of wine. I'm drinking white wine tonight because I'm whitening my teeth. And I heard that they're very porous right now. And drinking red wine undoes the entire whitening process.
Ooh.
Yeah. So my friend Mary Lynn suggested I switch to white wine.
And we're booze bags. Right. So we need something.
I could stop drinking. Right. But what's the point?
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
All right. Tell me what you think of this clip. This just came in. Okay. Fresh audio.
Fresh off the press.
It's not even proofed or anything, you know? It's just...
It. All over my face.
Can you believe that?
My face, a reservoir of your cum. It's delicious. Huh. Plaster my face with your juicy man juice.
Wait a minute. She needed to think of another adjective.
Yeah,
there.
She got stuck there.
Juicy man juice.
Yep. Thank you.
You gotta think of another word.
Thank you, Matt.
Like juicy man jizz.
Right.
Juicy man mustard.
Love.
Juicy man love.
Mm-hmm.
Man ball batter.
Glue.
Man glue. Juicy man glue. I like that.
Mm-mm.
Juicy man.
Sauce.
Cream. Not a dry rub, but a sauce.
Barbecue. There's a lot of laughing in this.
Silly. What's going on?
That's just, you know, people laugh, babe. People have a good time when they're doing the naked.
I really think it isn't fair that women, I mean, I know they say women ejaculate, but I don't. So let's put it that way. I wish that I had some kind of an ejaculate that I could force into somebody's mouth.
You can.
Okay.
It's you can like, laugh. You know you're capable of it, right?
That's what they say, but like I said, I haven't been able to.
Do you want to do it?
Yeah.
Oh, you do?
But I want it to be a lot. I want it to be a different color.
Why don't we? But we've never aimed for it, but we never tried to do it before.
I don't know if that's true for everybody.
I think you're capable. I think everybody's capable.
But it's female ejaculate, right?
Yeah.
It's the same as what's considered squirting.
Mm-hmm.
They say everybody's capable.
That's what I've, yeah.
And how would we do this? How would you milk me?
Well, I would manually try to milk you. Yeah.
You did a four finger roll there.
No, you know. Right in there. And then you know?
Well, let's try right now on the podcast.
Right now on the show? Okay. yeah, we can do it. Why don't we do it? Right here on the show.
Let me try you first.
It's great. You know what? I think we should save it. We should save it for a bonus episode. I think that's...
I think people would pay good money to hear that.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know about this female ejaculate stuff. I got to tell you, in all the years that I've known other women and talked to them about
yeah,
it,
yeah,
it's really not something that comes up in conversation. But I think a lot of women would tell me.
Yeah.
My friends haven't mentioned that, and I've heard all kinds of stuff.
None of them have ever discussed doing this with you, ever?
No, and I've heard all kinds of wacky stuff. It's just not high on our list, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe it's not on my, it's not high on my desire list, but if you were like, I gotta squirt,
Yeah.
I mean, we can definitely work towards that.
I mean, does it feel amazing? Is that the allure?
I don't know. Ugh. I don't know. I really don't know.
I got to look into this.
Yeah. Well, I think you certainly opened up an interesting inbox.
Can we?
For our... Hey, guys, we really need to talk about squirting more.
Can we play just a silly game for a minute here?
Yeah, okay. Sure.
So all this leftover Halloween candy,
yeah.
I was like looking at the bowl today and in my head ranking the leftover candies by desirability. Mm-hmm. Will you just tell me, like, let's just talk about this order right now.
Oh, okay.
Here's what I have. A Reese's Pieces peanut butter cup, a Reese cup.
Yeah.
That's how white trash people say that.
Yep. Yeah.
It's a Reese cup. A Kit Kat.
Yeah.
A Hershey's milk chocolate bar. And then an Almond Joy.
Yeah, so lowest is definitely the Hershey.
Wow.
Chocolate.
Wow, that's brazen. That's bold.
It's just a standard Hershey chocolate mini bar.
You think that's the least desirable of those
definitely.
Four?
Definitely. And I think among children, far down on the list.
I disagree. I'm going to go with Almond Joy as the bottom.
You don't know what you're talking about.
Almond Joy is the least desirable of these four candies.
No. Nope.
Here's why. Coconut is kind of healthy for you. It's not really a treat. It's like it's tough, it's leathery. It's like eating skin particles, like scabs wrapped in goo.
If you were a man, I would tell you to get to stepping.
Wow. I mean, I eat the Almond Joy out of desperation, like if this is the last candy in the barrel.
What?
Tootsie Rolls and Almond Joy are like least favorites.
How dare you equate Almond Joy with a Tootsie Roll.
Tootsie Rolls. Don't you think
Tootsie Rolls... You know what? I should drop a Tootsie Roll in your lap right now.
Would you agree, though, in the Halloween candy bucket, that the Tootsie Roll is the least desirable? Oh, no, I'm sorry. Mm-mm. Least desirable is like the vanilla flavored Tootsie Roll. Disgusting.
Candy corn.
I love candy corn. You like candy corn?
Look, obviously we're from different backgrounds.
My teeth look like candy corn. Hey, so let's go this again. So then first place is what? Between Kit Kat and Reese Cup. That's where we're going right now.
Number one is wine.
Of course. Yeah, but for kids. This is for kids. Come on.
For kids, I feel like, ooh, that's a tough one. I feel like Kit Kat's the most badass.
Really?
Mm-hmm, but there's something about that delicious peanut butter in the Reese Cup that is, you know, it's almost, you can't, other than the few kids, you know, there's a few kids that die from their peanut allergies that you're fine with. Them aside, I mean,
right.
Who can turn down a delicious peanut butter and chocolate treat?
Kit Kat didn't kill anybody. Nobody's allergic to a Kit Kat.
And you get that little crispy wafer.
Mm.
You snap the wafer in your mouth. It's so good.
I always feel like four bars was never enough as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have supersized candy bars growing up when I was a kid. And I always was like, oh, man, it's like it's never enough.
Do you like exploring different candies when you travel
that's the world? What else is their life?
Yeah, because people really like
reason.
A lot of Americans who don't travel might not know that like you don't find our chocolate candy treats in other countries.
No,
everybody has their own,
and ours are the best. Obviously, we're number one. But Cadbury in England makes a great chocolate
product.
What about
Tim Tams in Australia?
I don't like Tim Tams.
What?
Yeah, I'm sorry, Australian listeners.
Do we have divorce papers here, or do we need to order them?
Can I have my argument with the Tim Tam?
Sure.
Those are the ones with all the air. They like pump air into the candy. So it's chocolate, but then there's like air pockets in it.
Yeah.
Not a fan. What's the point?
I enjoyed it very much.
Is that what you like about it? The air in the chocolate?
I just thought it was a delicious treat.
Not a fan of the Tim Tam. I'm sorry to offend our Australian listeners.
What about like Godiva?
Like, a little too rich for my blood. You know what I like? White trash American milk chocolate.
See, there's the problem.
Kit Kat, Reese Cup.
There's the problem. Do you like Dove chocolate?
Too fancy. Too fancy feast. It's too fancy. You know what I do like in Australia?
A fried chicken?
Fuck yeah. I like Milo bars in Australia.
Oh yeah.
Those are fucking dope. I could eat my weight in Milo bars.
Remember those?
Yeah.
You tried to have me bring home Doritos.
Yeah, they had ketchup flavored Doritos.
But not when I was there. I think it was already...
Yeah, it's too bad. That was the 90s, bro.
Momstrelia also has my favorite espresso.
What is that kind?
Remember I had it flown in? You got it from me, too.
Yeah, that shit's delicious.
Seven seeds.
Yes, very good. Very good. Here's where I'm going to go, my final answer on the candy bar debate.
Mm-hmm.
First place, Reese Cup.
Yeah.
Second place, Kit Kat.
Mm-hmm.
Third place, Milk Chocolate Hershey's Solid.
Mm-hmm.
Fourth place, Almond Joy. That's my final fucking lineup. Fuck you guys. I know I'm going to get a million fucking tweets about, oh, your lineup sucks. You know what? You suck. You're not American.
Whoa.
Yeah, I said it.
Whoa.
A lot of pornography in today's show. What's going on with you?
You brought up squirting. I just pulled up some squirting clips.
Jeez.
Wow, she really shoots it far.
So, oh, is he doing that to her or is she doing that to her?
Well, she was getting railed.
Right.
And then he pulled out and then she shot her squirty load all over the place.
Jeez. That takes practice, I think.
Yeah. Interesting.
I don't know. It takes a lot of work. Huh?
Well, let's stay in that world.
Pornography?
Not necessarily pornography. I mean, we have a little bit of class. Jeez.
By the way, happy Ben of Smurfernee, Tom.
Oh, yeah. Happy Ben of Smurfernee.
It's our fifth year being married. What do you think of that?
I think it's very exciting. I'm very happy to be married to you for 5 years.
You sound excited.
Well, how do you mean to say it?
It's very exciting to be married to you.
I enjoy being married to you. I love you
very
much. I do
too. I love you. Happy Ben of Smurfernee.
Happy Ben of Smurfernee to you. This is from our wedding. I have a.
I'm going to squirt?
No.
For my Ben of Smurfernee.
This is me talking on our wedding to the video.
I guess this thing is about me having a small dick. And it's really horrible saying that because it's true. And why is it such a problem? Why is it such a problem? And this is what this film was about. I'll find out why it's such a problem. And if it's a problem for me, is it a problem for other men? Do you want the whole story?
This poor son of a bitch made a documentary about his micro penis.
Yeah.
It's so small.
Well, it's 3 inches, and they actually show it in this documentary. And honestly, it doesn't look that bad. Like, I've seen micro penises on the internet, like for just photographs of them, and they look horrifically small. But his is just like, it's 3 inches, you know? And
there's definitely worse micro penis instances than his, but
it's tough.
Yeah. But it is an interesting question. Like, you said,
yeah. Well, look, here's my, you know, in my younger years, I think I was way more callous about this, and I would be like, what the fuck,
what's
dicks,
that?
Fucking dicks need to be big.
That's what you would have said?
Puerto Rican and black. Fuck little white guys. That was always my thing, is like, I love Puerto Rican cocks, huge.
Jesus.
Huge.
Christ.
Huge hulking beasts of penises.
Really? This was your mantra? Is it you?
My mantra was, if it's not Puerto Rican, don't put it in my mouth.
Oh.
If it isn't black, I don't want it in between my legs.
Jesus.
And then you get older, and then you're like, you know what? It's all just flaps and folds. Everything down, everything. All we are is just meat and folds and hair and sweat, and in your case, a lot more hair and brown mashed into that hair.
Mm-hmm.
And who gives a fuck? Like, at the end of the day, listen, women, there's an entire population of people who don't need a penis to penetrate them to be satisfied, or they use other means, like they'll use vibrators or dildos. Like, this guy can use a vibrator on a woman if she feels that she wants more. Sex is all in the mind, dude. It's very little to do with your physicality at the end of the day.
But in his state and people in that state, how does that play on you psychologically?
It's what society puts on you. It's not even, it's about the whole myth of like, you're not a virile man if you don't have a 10-inch cock.
Right, but what about the guy who, I'm just saying, I'm not trying to shit on him, but it's got to be like, it's got to wear on you if you have like a 3 or, you know, something like that, inch dong.
Yeah.
And not just society, but like, let's say you hook up with a girl and she's like,
especially when you're younger and girls don't know to be cool, or people aren't cool yet when you're in your 20s or you're a teenager.
Did you ever do that?
Hook up with, I've had one small peener. But when you really like the
person.
But
how did you handle it?
I had sex with him, just like anybody else.
And did you let him, you didn't hint that you weren't?
No. Nothing. Never. Well, never.
No, I'm asking.
No, I would never, because he was a really cool person and human being, and it wasn't like a one-night stand, or it was like, this is a person I was, you know, connected to.
Yeah.
And, but it was, at the end of the day, do I want to marry? I don't know.
Yeah, but how was the sex? Was it terrible? Was it like, this is so bad?
But, you know, again, it's not because of the... It's not because of what you're working with. It's more like that person might not be a fantastic lover, period.
Right. I understand that. Yeah. So, okay.
Yeah.
So
because for, you know, sex isn't all about penile penetration. Yeah. Yeah. There's a million other things you can do.
Right.
So, I don't know. But I imagine it is hard to be a dude and to have the misfortune of having a small penis and having to deal with that stigma, you know, until you're old enough to, like, cope with it properly.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to suck.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if you're in the locker rooms and dudes are like, because don't dudes look at...
That's what this guy talks about. He talks about being in the locker room in his youth, and then he talks to his dad about it. And his dad was like, the first time he became aware of his own size was in the locker room. And he said the first thing... He made a good point. He said, like, at first, you're like, holy shit.
Yeah.
And he goes, and then by their fucking second or third shower, nobody cares. Everyone's showering and just going on with their lives.
Yeah.
You're just taking a shower.
I think a lot of people's insecurity comes from movies, the media, and outside forces. Because when you really know people one-on-one, a lot of this shit doesn't really matter, does it?
No. Yeah, that's true.
You're like, oh, that's fucking so-and-so with a small dick. And?
Yeah.
Wasn't there some documentary? Oh, we were watching about the world's tallest girl or tallest man or whatever. And there was this girl, and she lived in Jamaica. And they were like, oh, there's Cherie. She's a tall bitch. And they all made fun of her. But in like a friendship way of like, that's just her. She's the tall girl.
Yeah, yeah.
She wasn't mocked. She was like one of them.
Yeah, of course. They all loved her. Yeah.
Yeah. Not like the white people. I think they were, where were they, in England?
Well, you know, the reverse of that in a way. It's not exact same, but in a lot of ways is flat-chested girls.
Right, right.
And what's made of that.
It's more public.
Yeah, it's more public. And there's more pressure to do something about it.
And unfortunately, a lot of girls give in to that pressure.
Yes. The worst is when they give into it and really need nothing at all. When you're like, why are you considering doing this?
Well, I think it's even... I think now the norm is that you have to have at least a C or a B cup. Like, people think that you're a freak. Whereas when I was growing up, remember, like, there was a beauty standard in the 70s or whatever. Like, when you opened a magazine, like a Playboy, I feel like you saw different body types. It wasn't all massive tits, a 25-inch waist, you know, blonde perfect. I feel like
there's anything wrong with that.
I feel like small...
Those big tits in my mouth.
I feel like small titties were celebrated in the 70s and in the 80s.
I can celebrate all titties. That's
the thing. That's the thing, is that I feel like most normal dudes don't fucking care.
No. Whatever you've got, whatever titties you have, even if you have disfigured titties or lopsided titties, they're still
most
titties
are.
And they make happy.
Do you know that most my titties are lopsided? You know that.
I mean, if you're like somebody hacked one off with an axe or something.
Oh, jeez.
You know, you're missing significant tit on one side.
Right.
Still good to go. Hmm. Still happy with those tits.
Yeah, I think the average male isn't hypercritical of our bodies. I don't know where that shit comes from, too, that every girl... You know what I mean? Like, little girls are getting tits put on them now. Like, 16-year-olds are buying into the whole boob job thing. It's crazy.
Start younger. Jesus, 16.
I know, it's kind of old, huh?
Like an 11.
Yeah, before you even get your period. Get some tits.
Get your tits.
Yeah.
This is Micro Penis Guy. Highlights.
So tell me the reason you don't want to be seeing them.
I don't want to be seen as the bird of the one with the small dick.
Now see, how does that make him feel?
She doesn't want to be in the documentary.
Right, that's his girlfriend. Yeah. He's like, why don't you want to be in my documentary? And she answers, I don't want to be seen as the girl who's with the guy with the little dick.
Well, I think
Jesus.
But it also might be, I don't want to be just identified, and I don't want to be just identified as the guy with the small dick.
You're
much more than that. I'm much more than that, maybe. I'm hoping that's what she means.
Gosh. Depressing.
Yeah.
Because people can be cruel.
If it's like essential lesson. Don't bother. Don't go.
Oh, here you go.
Yeah, it matters.
It was like a chipolata. It was so small.
I like a big one.
Nice.
What's big to you?
Nine.
9 inches.
Inch. Yes.
I would always want one bigger, but I've never had any complaints. But
oh, oh.
Now, how many guys? Okay, every guy says I've never had any complaints.
Yeah.
Which is probably a lot of that is true. You heard, but how many of them do you think get complained about that don't know it?
Yeah, girls tell everybody else.
Right. They're not going to tell you.
No.
But they end up complaining about you to other people.
Yeah. I mean, these bitches that they've interviewed are like bar girls. Like, he interviews people coming out of bars drunk.
Yeah.
So those girls are going to be like, I want a fucking big cock. Of course, you're going to be a dick.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I will say most women are very forgiving of painters and such.
Sure.
Very forgiving.
Especially in a relationship, right?
Yeah, it's really not about a dude's dick. It's really about the whole package, I should hope.
But you want that, ooh, right?
Well, that's why I married big Puerto Rican donkey cocks.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
How big are you?
Now he's sleeping, but when he's in action, he's very big.
I don't understand.
I don't understand what the fuck she said. Yeah.
I just feel that at the moment I've kind of reached a point in this journey that not only have I got the problem of, you know, my own insecurities of the size of my cock, but I've also got a problem with feeling like a twat for having it. And I guess, it's as much a psychological problem as it is a physical problem. Oh, dear.
What's the topic?
It's about penises.
Yeah, what about them?
What about them?
Does size matter to women?
Yes.
Don't fool yourself. It does.
Sweetie, they say it not to make you feel bad, but it does matter. It doesn't matter if it's huge. It's uncomfortable, to be honest. But medium is good.
What's medium?
Medium large.
Show me what medium is.
Oh, like that. Like that. That's medium.
And what do you think is medium?
Katie, don't you?
What, I mean, what's your preference?
Medium as well, but I
Katie's
really
more concerned about girth. She's really into girth. Bigger, the rounder.
This is all not true.
But this is all that really is, they're being honest with him.
I think these are people just discussing penises detached from the person. Like, if you were to be like, hey, describe your perfect penis. Mm-hmm. You're like, well, for me, I want a fucking Coke can.
Jesus.
I want a, 15-inch black snake.
Jesus.
I want to be torn in half. I want to have my cervix punctured. Those things are what normal people say. But then, like, for instance, if someone were to be like, hey, describe your perfect girl. You're like, well, she's got fucking double D's, mm-hmm. tiny little waist.
Pussy smells.
Pussy smells like trash.
Yep.
She weighs 100 pounds.
Fuck. 100? We're talking about two women or one?
Double digit weight.
85 pounds.
85 pounds, obese. But then when you are presented with the flesh person, none of that shit really fucking matters, does it? I mean, a little.
Yeah.
I obviously have some kind of norm, but as long as it's within those.
Yeah.
Margins, right?
Yeah. As long as she's got that stinky box, I'm good.
Really, Tom? How important is it for you to have a smelly vagina?
Super important. That's at the top of my list.
Is that why we work? Do I have a smelly vagina?
Like a fuck. Like it's the day after Mardi Gras, and we're talking about the French Quarter gutters.
That's what my vagina smells like.
And it's 105, and there's just beer and trash and vomit cooking.
What about feces?
Absolutely.
Hmm.
Absolutely. And then as soon as I take in that smell, I finish.
Huh. That's really something. I didn't realize that. 9 years being together, 5 years married,
mm-hmm.
you've never brought up my vagina smelling like that.
Well, I like that you don't even associate the fact that I always put trash in your panties.
Like, yeah, I've noticed that.
I put
that.
Trash in your panty drawer so that the smell gets in there.
Jesus Christ. Have you ever, are vaginas an issue for you? Vagina size, shallowness, depth?
No, loose. I've always been happy with vaginas.
Yeah.
There's some are different for sure, but I've never been like, I just don't like her vag.
Like, it's not a deal breaker, right?
No, no. I mean, in my limited experience, no.
Yeah, even that dude that I did.
I've had loose gooses before.
Loose meats?
Sure.
But yeah. Is it a deal breaker?
No. It still works.
Yeah, if this dude that I dated that had a small peener, mm-hmm. like if you were an outstanding individual.
Yeah, I feel like you really loved him.
Yeah, maybe, you know, we could transcend that. You can fucking figure out other
things. Was he 3 inches?
Oh, I don't know. I don't think so. Babe, I don't know. Let's not.
Go like this.
Hold on.
Like. I can look big?
I don't remember that. That's our dog is burying. Christopher Reeve. Remember when
Superman?
He was still alive?
Yeah.
He and his wife had sexual relations, he said.
When he was paralyzed?
Yeah.
That's so sad. I don't want to think
about
that.
But doesn't that go to show that it's not about penises going into vaginas?
But they had a love.
They did have a love.
Real love.
And you can do all kinds of things to please each other. You don't have to have just penile.
Yeah.
I see. Can I tell you my theory on this? The reason the dick size is so important to society, to males in this society, is because this society is still fucking centered on patriarchal, phallocentric, heterosexual, male normative bullshit. That's why. Because there's entire margins of society, they don't even rely on penile penetration. Do you understand, Theo?
Yeah.
It's not always about the dick, for God's sakes.
Yeah.
It ain't always about, there's hands and mouths and assholes and fucking ball gags. And
how about spit?
Dildos and
spit in my face.
And, you know, fisting. Yeah. That's, you know, there's all kinds of ways to penetrate something.
That's true. Great point.
You're welcome.
Would you like to hear a little more of this guy or no?
Yeah. I feel badly for him because I like his honesty.
All right.
It's okay. It's fine.
But is a man's confidence related to cock size? One place where size is important and always on show is in porn films.
See?
So I decide to go and see one being made.
Basically, I think I'm like the Arabian princess, and they're just both going to capture me and Roger me silly.
Roger me? I've never heard that one.
I love those Brits.
Roger me silly. Yeah, and that's where that comes from. The male, you know, that bullshit thing, that heteronormative thing.
Yeah, pornography definitely plays a role in this too.
That's what makes girls think that we're freaks if we don't look like the women in porn.
Yeah,
that's why we run out and get tit jobs and are bulimic and anorexic.
Yeah,
we think that's what guys want.
You got to be like that. You got to be like that girl in the porn.
Mm-hmm.
You know that girl.
I'm not that girl.
That sweet, sweet, sweet girl.
I love it all over my face.
Can
make
you believe that?
My face a reservoir of your cum.
Oh,
that's how you gotta be.
So what happens in this though? So he goes to watch her do porn and then
Did you watch it?
Yeah.
So didn't.
But I think I don't remember what happened. So I know he's sitting there watching her and he's like in the corner eyeballing her.
He's very
deep. I just feel that at the moment I've kind of reached a point in this journey that not only have I got the problem of.
Oh,
you know,
did
my own insecurities.
Large.
Show me what medium is.
Earth. It's brilliant.
I like porn films. So I decide to go and see one being made.
Basically, I think I'm like the Arabian princess. And they're just both going to capture me and Roger me silly.
I guess this is the rogering part.
What's wrong with 5 inches, 6 inches, 7 inches? It's not.
No, but I'm talking a 3-inch erect.
A 3-inch erect penis. But the thing is that, I mean, that could work in a way to an interesting angle because.
He's talking to
well,
a
not
guy.
Obviously, you wouldn't come into this industry, would you?
I've never kind of successfully masturbated before in my entire life.
What?
Because I've never felt that I like it very much.
What
about if I can't get an erection?
That's crazy. That's the craziest revelation of all.
What would you do if you've never masturbated, James?
I can't get over this.
He can't, yeah.
How can he not? I don't understand. That doesn't make sense
to me. Listen, he's explaining.
I don't know. Yeah, I mean,
I don't know, though. Unfortunately, that's going to be up to you.
I wish Nicola was here, though. It'd be marginally more helpful.
He's trying to get a hard-on.
You guys just don't do it for...
To make a cast of his penis. They're making a plaster cast mold of his peener. Remember we tried that years ago?
Oh, yeah.
Same thing. And he's trying to put his peener into the thing and he can't get an erection.
My idea, which I still think is a good idea, was to make a plaster cast of my penis and then put a bottle opener on it, the other end of it.
Yeah.
So you basically, as a gift, I give a mold of my penis, but it has the utility in that you can open a bottle.
Oh, you know what? This whole time, I thought you meant put the bottle opener going through the hole, the urethra, and it's like it's coming out, like you're pissing out the bottle opener. You understand? Not on the opposite end. I thought your dick was peeing out the opener.
That's another way of doing it. I didn't imagine it like that.
Gosh, this whole time.
That's interesting. I thought it would just be like a good gift to my friends, you know?
Yeah. No, but... The way you're presenting it now, I'm like, that's a totally different gift.
Which is a better one?
You know, I always envisioned that, like I said, your plaster casted penis was urinating out.
So the opener. End, the opener's hanging out of the end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they can use your dick to jack open.
Open it.
Yeah.
Give one to Casey, one to Justin.
Right.
You know, Charlie.
Yeah.
Hey, guy, here's my dick. You can use it
and
to open something.
And your parents. Don't forget your family.
That would be the best moment of all, handing it to my mother and father. Hey, guys.
What do you think they would say?
My dad would say, "Oh, Tommy," like that. Just kind of shake his head. My mom wouldn't understand, even after a pretty thorough explanation. What? This is what? She wouldn't get it.
She would understand that it's your penis.
You know, she would be like, "I don't, why did you do this?" Like, she would be very, very confused. It's a really good idea. Now that I'm thinking about how much it can horrify them, I really want to do it more.
Why don't you do something with your butthole? I feel like your butthole is so underused.
And you know, those porn people, they do plasters of their vaginas and butthole.
Yeah.
Why don't I do a plaster of my butthole, and then what do I do with it?
I know. You know how we always have these loose corn on the cob holder thingies everywhere?
Yeah.
Where do I put them? You make one, a plaster cast of your butthole, we open your butthole, and that's where you put the corn on the cob holders.
You put them in my butthole?
Yes. Yes, because I'm always losing them. I don't know where to store them. They're always loose.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Well, can you see another use? I mean, maybe a straw holder, too. Maybe somewhere to keep your safety pins.
I'm so sad for this man that can't masturbate. It's really affecting me.
He doesn't really, I don't think he can get an erection or he doesn't want to.
Talk about my beard.
What about it?
How nice it is right now.
It's real nice. It's not as full as it usually is. It's trimmed back to match your haircut. You got a haircut.
Mm-hmm.
Both you and Theo got your haircut today.
We both got haircuts.
Same place, same groomer?
Babe.
I got you.
That's so stupid.
Man,
not
I
a
just
dog.
You. And then they give Did they give you a little hanky, too, like they did Theo?
No.
A little cute little
I went to a human haircut place. A
little bandana to wear?
I had my Japanese hairstylist cut
What's
my hair.
What's his name?
Koji.
Koji. And what did you guys talk about?
Pasha. He asked me about Vegas.
Like, what did he say?
He said, "You like gamble?" And I was like, "Not really."
He didn't say, "You like a gamble?"
Yeah, he did.
He just said gambling.
He doesn't speak good English.
Neither do you.
You like gambo? I said, "I'm not really into it." "Which game?" I said, "Blackjack." He goes, "I like the slots." I said, "Those are fun. But penny is no penny. Make you max bet." I go, "That's true. They make you max bet and take your fucking money." He's like, "Yeah."
Do you think he wanted to go to Vegas with you?
He just went and he said that the MGM had a good buffet deal. He was telling me about it.
Oh, that's not. Oh, it does have a good buffet. Haven't we eaten that one? No,
I don't think so. He was like, "It's 24 hours, and you can have dinner there twice." He goes, "You know, so."
Wow.
He bought it and then went to dinner twice. So he loves buffets. He told me.
Really?
Yeah. He smokes a lot, and that's the only part I don't enjoy about my haircut, is that like when he's like his hands are in front of my face, I can smell his hands.
Ugh, it's so gross, isn't it?
I want to say something to him.
But like your fingers smell and not like good garbage.
Yeah.
Like my wife's vagina.
Doesn't smell trash like my wife's vagina. It smells different than that.
It is disgusting. I had a masseuse whose hand smelled.
Oh.
Yeah, and she was up in my head and everything. I was like, dude, come on now. I can smell that.
That seems inexcusable. It seems like if you were doing, but you know, if you're doing massages, you would know, I got to thoroughly clean these so that, you know,
your paws.
You're actually rubbing your paws on people.
Dude, I know. When I used to smoke, I was very conscious of that. I was smelling like, because your fingers really stink like shit.
They do.
I saw my shrink today and she had her roots done, her blonde. She
did you
great.
Compliment her?
I did actually. And she lets them grow out real long. And I've always noticed that. I'm like, you need to get your roots did, girl. But she's a busy lady. She's a fucking PhD. She doesn't have time for that.
Ooh.
You know what I'm saying?
What do you think her box smells like?
Awesome.
Yeah.
Dude, my doctor is like, she's super smart and she's all skinny.
Dude, like, my doctor's like, I like when you revert into that character of yours.
What character?
Dude, bro, like, for real?
I think that's my core. I think that's who I am, bro. And then you put a couple of glasses of wine in me.
Yeah. Right? You go back to yourself.
To my bro talk.
Yeah.
No, seriously, though, she had like a nice purple top. Some black slacks and some nice heels today. She always dresses like a real professional. I'm always amazed. I'm like, ah, you're on point. See, that's how you know you're seeing a good shrink. Because I saw a guy once, I think I've told you this before, fucking first appointment I walk in, and he had on like mom jeans.
Yeah.
And he had a fucking Santa Claus white beard and then Velcro shoes, like white Velcro shoes. I was like, motherfucker, you can't even dress yourself. How are you going to tell me how to live my life? You're wearing fucking crazy Velcro shoes. And they were like nurse Velcro shoes. I'm not talking like cool ones. It was very fucked up. You can't take life counsel from someone who doesn't know how to present themselves to the world.
No.
Mm-mm. Right?
Absolutely not. It's why it's
trust that guy.
If somebody's in like one of these, you know, positions where you're going to them to make money, like if you're going to a, you know, a realtor who's supposed to like sell your house for money, or to an investment person, they have to present themselves in a certain way.
Right.
You know, if they have like cheap shit on,
yeah,
and
dude,
a beat up car, you're like, and it sounds bad to make the judgment, but you're like, the cars aren't everything, but you want that person to like carry themselves a certain way.
It's their job.
Yeah.
That's part of the gig.
Yeah. And for PhD or for your
therapist,
yeah, you have to present a certain image.
Yeah. Cause you're telling people how to live essentially. Like you're saying, this is the right way to be. I'm going to help you through that. And then you can't fucking figure out sneakers. I can't trust you.
I agree.
I can't trust you fucking crazy Santa Claus beard.
Doctors. What are you always looking on doctors?
Hands. Teeth, hands.
Yeah.
Teeth, like, most important.
Yeah. Look at their hands.
Yeah, on a doctor, yeah.
Yeah, and a lot of times you see they have really well, their hands are really.
Should be, yeah.
Very well groomed.
I look at their teeth. I smell breath. Mm-hmm. If your doctor has bad breath, forget it.
Yeah.
Because they're so close to you, you want to smell bad breath.
I like when a doctor has a real stinky dick. You know, they always do that when you get, you know, when you get your physical and your doctor will rub his dick between the top of your lip and your nose. Mm-hmm. They always do that test.
Mm-hmm.
I always check it out. Make sure it smells bad.
That's interesting. I like a gentle touch too. My gynecologist.
I was in there for that.
Right. At the end, she likes to masturbate me to orgasm. That's normal too, yeah, right?
Totally normal. That's what gynos do.
Yeah.
They go down there and they're like.
And then the breast exam takes usually a half hour, 45 minutes. And she suckles them individually. Is that normal?
That's what they do. And then she goes, it's good. You're good to go here. And you're good to go there.
She takes a taste test of both of my
breasts. Smacks them.
Nope. That's not part of the exam.
I've seen it. I've seen it.
Where have you seen it?
I used to volunteer at a nurse in a place with a doctor and a nurse.
Yeah, sure. They never let you near medical equipment.
Yeah, they did.
Oh, please. You would be the worst.
I ran most of it. Excuse me. I ran that place.
Could you imagine you in the medical field?
Why? Why would I be the worst?
Well, first of all, you look homeless. No matter what you do, even when you shower, it's a little homeless on the vibe, you know?
Jesus. I'm your husband.
That's why I like you. But I like the crazy homeless guy look. I like Vincent Gallo. I like, what's his name?
Even when I shower, I look a little homeless.
Yeah, but I like that about you. You look a little fucking crazy. Like there's a little crazy streak in you. I like that.
Okay. Okay. What were you telling me about earlier? You were watching one of your shows and you saw
You're going to die. You got to watch this. So on Eonla Fix My Life, Eonla Van Sant, she's like a self-help person. She made a bunch of money and then she lost it all. And then she broke up with Oprah and then Oprah and her made up and now she has her show on OWN.
Mm-hmm.
Any hoodles. She fucking visits T.O., Terrell Owens.
Terrell.
Was Terrell? I'm sorry. I thought it was Terrell. I've been calling
everybody does.
Terrell in my head all day.
Everybody does.
Terrell?
It's Terrell.
How the fuck do you know that? You know Terrell?
I did a show with Terrell.
Please. Which show did you do with Terrell?
A Comedy Central pilot in which he was the guest. And they had to re-announce him 4 times and he threatened to walk off if he wasn't brought out under the correct name. My name is Terrell, not Terrell. Is that a good enough explanation?
Fucking sorry, I didn't realize you guys were so tight and that you knew everything about Terrell. Terrell.
Terrell.
Terrell.
Terrell.
Can I just say T.O. from now on because it's too annoying?
Yeah, but I mean, it's or you could just get it right.
Terrell.
Terrell.
Turtle.
This shit should be easy!
That's what he says every time someone pronounces his name. So anyways, Turtle is on the show. And I would say that Turtle has the worst fucking most devastating story of anybody on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Like they had Chris Brown's ex-girlfriend or ex-wife on there. That episode wasn't as crazy.
Chris Brown,
oh,
the singer?
I'm sorry. No. What's the one we watched? And he was beating her. It's not Chris Brown.
Oh my God. Chad Ochocinco?
Ochocinco. Yeah. Sorry.
Chris Brown.
Different black guy. Sorry. I get them mixed up. All right. So.
Jesus.
Why did I say it was Chad Ochocinco? So anyways, but
Chad Ochocinco.
So poor Turtle, listen to his story. Are you ready for, you don't even fucking know what this poor guy's been through.
I remember, I mean, throughout his career, they would always talk about his upbringing. He was very close to his grandmother is what I remember.
So, cause here's why. So he's raised by a grandma because this poor guy, his mother is 16 years old, right? She has an affair with the neighbor across the street.
Mm-hmm.
To a man who's about 16 or 17 years older than her at
the time.
So
he's in his 30s when she's 16.
Yes.
Okay.
So they have a tryst, mm-hmm. and the man is married with 2 kids, and he lives across the street. So, of course, 16-year-old girl gets pregnant and has Turtle.
Terrell.
Terrell has Terrell. Like Carol, but Terrell.
That's it.
Well, you could have fucking said that like 10 minutes ago. It would be a lot easier with the story. So Terrell, mom, is raised by grandma the whole time growing up across the street from the man that is his father that never acknowledged him. Basically, like the guy raised another family in front of Terrell and then never was like, hey, guy, I'm your dad. Just so you know, I'm your dad. I love you. Like never said I love you to him until he was 39 years old on this show. Never took responsibility for Terrell. And of course, the mother and grandmother just kind of live in silence, like, oh, yeah, that never happened. We don't, whatever, no big deal. Bananas, right? Grew up across the street from him.
It's just, you know, it's what you think about that. What I think about when I hear that
is
how the people, when you, the ones you want to scream at, everybody, the parents, you know, the mom, the grandma, like, why don't you fucking do something?
Yeah.
They really just don't have the tools. They don't know how to do it.
Right. And that's what you learn is like these poor people. You know, she was 16, so there was a lot of shame associated with that event. You know, you don't want it to get out that this guy is having an affair in the neighborhood. So he's like, she's weirdly protecting him. you know, like all this weird dynamic. And basically,
did he ever help out at all?
No.
Nothing?
No. He raised another family.
Across the street.
Across the street in front of Terrell.
And he found out when he was... How old?
So I think 11. That's the part I missed. I might be wrong. I think 11 years old, he finds out the truth that, oh, that's your dad. But guess what? Your dad doesn't really want shit to do with you. And so now 39 years old rolls around. Eonla is there. They ask the dad to be on the show. Dad's like, no, fuck you, no. And then dad changes his mind. And then they go across the street. And Terrell basically confronts him, like, hey, you really broke my heart. Like, you could have fucking been a dad. You could have said hi. You could have said, you could have taken me fishing. You know, you could have said, I love you. Why didn't you do all this? And the dad goes, well, I mean, you know, I was busy. I had two jobs, taking care of my kids, just had a full life. I didn't really, you know, just didn't get around to it. And you're like, oh my God, you didn't get around to it. This poor little boy is just desperate for a father. But you realize how easy it is, how human beings are so adaptable to awful shit like that, where you're like,
but then the great irony is that he's so hurt by it. And then what's he doing right now as a parent, right? He has kids and he doesn't.
He has four kids from four different baby mamas right now.
Right. And they're like, so.
And they're 11. And the son of his sons is 11, I believe.
Right. And they're like, what are you up to? And he's like, well, yeah. I'm busy. I'm working.
He's busy. He's working. Yeah.
So he's doing the same thing.
But to Terrell's credit, he totally makes up with the father, makes up with mom, vows to be a better father to his children. Like, he does have a complete epiphany and such. So he did turn around, but
yeah.
So crazy though.
But the thing that we were talking about, I think this happens a lot with people that come from backgrounds, especially with athletes, is when they feel like, they're completely ignored like that.
Yeah.
It sometimes fuels a fire.
It's the best. They become the greatest athletes, musicians, comedians, actors,
of all time. And it's just for that one person.
Yeah,
they just want to show that one person.
Well, that's what Ianla was saying, like, because apparently I didn't know that. So he acts out when he scores a touchdown, like he dances.
Well, he's done now. He doesn't play anymore. But he was he went to he didn't go to a big college, but he was known to have just he had obviously great natural ability, but he had like a relentless habit in the workout training, like weightlifting. Mm-hmm. He got himself, he worked out to be just an animal. And I had a friend who played for a year with him, a friend that went to college with me, a guy I knew. And he played on the 49ers.
The 69ers
for a season when T.O. was there. And he was like, dude, that guy in the gym is just a fucking specimen. Like, you've never seen anything like it. You know, he willed himself to be this tremendous physical,
of course,
athlete. And I remembered when you were talking about that, about how circumstances, do that to people, like make them work harder.
Achievers. Well, he wanted dad's approval. He wanted dad to notice him.
I remember watching, I've heard it from other people, other stories as well, but I remember watching Real Sports on HBO and they had Jerry West on. Mm-hmm. Jerry West is a famous basketball player and eventually became the general manager, the guy who was the architect of a lot of Laker championships. And, you know, he's the logo of the NBA. When you see the outline, mm-mm, that's Jerry West. So,
well, that's crazy.
He's NBA royalty. And I remember him talking about how abusive his father was and how it fueled him to be.
Yeah.
And so I looked up, I don't know if this is going to be the right clip, but I looked up the.
And you say your father beat you.
Yes.
Define beating for me, if you would.
Oh, my goodness, Brian.
Hit you with his fists?
No, it was always with a big belt with a buckle on it.
You know, and use the buckle end?
He did whatever was available he hit me with.
So we're not talking about a spanking?
No.
We're not talking about taking a strap to your backside?
No, I know the difference between a spanking and a beating. I know that. It was brutal. It was, I remember one time when the mines were on strike that my mother cooked a pot of vegetable soup and we ate it for dinner for six straight nights. And I said to my mother, I said, you know, I don't want to eat this.
He beat you.
Oh, it was awful.
How long are we talking about?
10 minutes, probably. I got into the bed. He drug me out from under the bed. Frankly, I didn't even put this in a book, that my mother told my father, you're going to kill him.
Wow.
Oof.
Went on to become
the
most successful person.
Oh, yeah. If you, if you see the rest of that piece from Real Sports about Jerry West, he goes on to specifically say, he gets specifically asked Do you think you would be as good, you know, the great basketball player? And he was like, absolutely not.
Of course.
I'm a great basketball player because my dad was a piece of shit.
Of course.
Yeah.
Well, Ianla was saying that, because I guess Terrell acted out a lot. I'm not fully aware.
He acted out a lot as an adult professional.
That's what she's saying.
He was
like
a fucking cancer.
Right. So that's what she was saying. She's like, all that, I guess he would act out a bunch.
Oh, yeah.
And she's like, well, you wanted to be noticed, right? Was that your whole thing? He's like, yeah, man, I wanted to be noticed. I want to be the best, but I want to be noticed. And like, she's like, well, whose attention do you think you were looking for? The man across the street. But of course, the man across the street.
Of course.
Saying it's so fucking clear as day. Why do you think I tell jokes? I know it's to get my mother's approval. Yeah. She's never going to fucking give it to me. Yeah. That's the sad part, guys. You're never going to get it.
You're never going to get it.
You're never going to get it. If you got a parent that doesn't want to give it, guess what? You're never going to get it.
Well, look, he went through like an almost 20-year NFL career, and he never got it when he was playing football.
Because it's not about that.
Yeah.
It wasn't about it. That's the sad part. Mm-hmm. Well, at least he got his dad to acknowledge him because his dad's of sane mind. My mother's crazy. She's never going to be able to. But yeah, he got the apology from dad, and it healed him. And I wish he would have gotten it sooner, though.
Yeah.
You know, Arnold Schwarzenegger's dad was a piece of shit, too. Mm-hmm. Beat him. Lou Ferrigno's dad beat the fuck out of him.
Schwarzenegger, he was moderately successful.
A lot of them have terrible childhoods, terrible abusive upbringings.
I know. It actually everybody makes you go, oh, so you got to be a fucking abused piece of shit.
No.
No, but it makes you have that thought.
It does, but you don't have. I mean, there's a lot of normal people, too, that do really well, obviously. But yeah. It sure helps to get an abusive parent, doesn't it? Maybe two if you're lucky. You can really become successful.
If they really, really abuse you, that's the best. Really beat the shit out of you.
Yeah, real makes you into a really good artist.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. You said you also liked, speaking of the sports world, we watched the 60 Minutes Nick Saban piece.
Yeah, I like
him. You said you liked the quote. The quote that he had that they showed was... mediocre people don't like high achievers, and high achievers don't like mediocre people.
I love that.
Yeah.
Ain't that the truth, huh?
He's no nonsense, that guy.
Yeah, you know why I like that? He's right, because at least I found in my family, in my small world, when I wanted to be a comedian, I wanted to try to be something, you'd be surprised, man. Sometimes your own family doesn't fucking stand behind you.
Yeah.
Sometimes your friends hate on you. Sometimes the people you think should champion you don't.
Yep.
Devastating.
Yep. That's it, man.
Well, thank God I have you, Jeans.
I'm glad I have you, little Jeans.
And our FIFO. He encourages me. You encourage me.
You both do. I love you both very much.
Yeah, fuck Terrell Owens' dad.
That's right.
Was that the point of the story?
That's right.
Fuck that guy's dad.
Thanks for listening to our show. Please check out yourmomshousepodcast.com. Please follow us on Twitter at Tom Segura, at Christina P. Like our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/yourmomshousepodcast. And this was a lot of fun.
Don't eat Almond Joy. That's
such bullshit.
Forget Tim Tam, too.
Pete Murphy sent in this track.
Peter Murphy from Bauhaus?
From Bauhaus sent in. It's called Diabetes.
Oh. Bye, mommies.
Bye, Jeans.
Peace.